Hi everyone, Dave Stachowiak here, host of the Coaching for Leaders podcast. You've seen a lot in the news the last week on all the tactical stuff that we need to start doing. Some of us have had big changes happen in our lives already. Some of us have not. But certainly you already know that the world is not as it was a week ago. If you're under the assumption that because you already work from home or lead virtual teams that this doesn't mean much for you, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Your customers, vendors, children's teachers don't all work that way. Many of them will be doing this for the first time. They're not all used to this. It will mean new challenges for you too, as everyone else learns where to start. And if you work for a hospital leadership team in Australia, like a listener does who emailed me this morning, you already know what's coming. No option for her team or her to work from home, which is why she emailed me to tell me what she was doing to bolster her confidence and clarity as she moves into the weeks and months ahead. So yes, work will be different, at least for a while, than it has been, regardless of how you work. I've heard also a few suggestions that perhaps the best thing to do is to go for some long hikes and spend a few weeks catching up on Netflix and going into a place of peaceful solitude. Now, we should all do some of that. You've heard me say on this show many times the importance of solitude and thinking and leadership, and that's still important in a time like this. But that assumes that there is no work to be done. And not only is there work to be done, there is meaningful, immediate, and good work to do, regardless of where you are and what you do. Whether you're the general manager of a retail store or an IT executive, or the superintendent of a national park, or the director of a hospital, or the leader in an organization that helps school district leaders do better work for kids, there's important work to be done. All those people are in our Academy community today, and they're all already working on responding well to a new reality. So yes, many of us should be figuring out some new practices for working online, and many of us need to figure out how to become teachers for our kids who will be home from school, and determine new schedules, and exercise habits, and work patterns. All of that is important. But it's not the why. We, of course, need to make sure that people have the right hardware to use at home, and make sure that documents with titles like business continuity are created and communicated, and that we've got a few more groceries than normal, just in case. But those aren't the why either. Someone emailed me over the weekend and said, "I'm struggling right now because our company needs people here physically to keep systems running, but everyone wants to be approved to work from home. How do I determine who gets to work from home and who needs to come in?" I don't know the answer to that question. Many of us will be handling tough decisions like that in the coming days. But I do know we all need a why. What's missing for me in some of the directions so far from companies, political leaders, and even in one-on-one conversations, is the why. Why we're doing this. We're not about to change how we all live and work for a while, for us. I know the age demographics of the people who listen to this show from our surveys. By and large, because of our ages, because of the privilege that many of us have with margins and space and resources, we will weather the virus. So while there are, of course, exceptions to this in our listening community, the why isn't mostly about us. For me, the work we have ahead is about two whys. First, it's for my parents, my 95-year-old grandmother, who survived the Nazis and can weather this too if we work together. And it's for my brothers and sisters in this world who are already ill, who already have cancer, or who have otherwise compromised immune systems. The virus does not stop when we help people work virtually in the coming weeks, but we slow it down. And the reason that's so important is that when we slow it down, our parents, our grandparents, our brothers and sisters in chemotherapy right now, don't all get sick at the same time. Because some of them will need hospital care. And no healthcare system exists on this planet to support all of those people getting sick at the same time. By helping lead people to work virtually, we make social distancing happen more effectively and more sustainably, so more people do it for the length of time we need. And that saves the lives of the most vulnerable, because for many of us who are part of this listening community, we have more influence and power than the average person on this planet. But that's not the only why. Here's the second one. There is the heartbreaking reality of our brothers and sisters in this world that don't have the margin to be off work and not get paid in the coming weeks. While the missed sporting events, canceled conferences, and vacations that were already planned are real losses for many of us, it's already a crisis for the ticket agents, the janitors, the service vendors, and all the other people who work paycheck to paycheck and rely on those events for their livelihood. I have a dear friend whose work is centered on live in-person events. He got a call a few days ago from the owner of the business. Because the company already wasn't operating with much margin, the entire organization has already stopped operations, including his paycheck. He'll be fine, but many of his colleagues already have a tough road ahead. If we lead well and keep doing the important work that we do, we keep systems running, we keep our organizations resilient, and we do something that's hugely important when helping people adapt to massive change: provide some consistency. A lot of us know how important that is for our children, but it's important for the rest of us too. We're not doing it for the balance sheet. We're doing it so that when the time comes, we help all those folks who are the most vulnerable economically to rebound quickly. I hear it again and again, in the Gallup surveys, in the conversations with Academy members, in the interviews I'm doing right now with the leaders starting in our Academy in the coming weeks, how much people want to make a difference in this world, not for them, but to leave this world a better place for others. It's the dream we all have when we are young, to get the privilege to do meaningful work in our world. And a lot of time in life, it's hard to see how the work we do each day has the potential to do that. As Simon Sinek says, good leadership is like exercise. We know it makes a difference, and we know it's essential, but it's usually hard to see the results on any given day. But in this moment, the difference is immediate. In the next days and weeks, your courage to lead makes the difference as to whether people tune out in frustration or engage with the important work to be done. Your courage to show up is the difference between people making the choice to try to keep doing the same social interactions they've gotten used to in person, or whether they can transition those online for just a bit. And even your courage to not be more coach-like in some situations, and to be more directive when you know it will help with the larger why. So let me be directive for a moment. You don't need to have all the answers, but you do need your why today. When you know your why in this, the answers don't become easy, but you get to better answers faster. The tactical decisions you make in the coming weeks become more apparent. And when other leaders in your organization aren't framing the larger why, that you are a voice that can help people make decisions in the context of why we're doing this. And if you don't know what your why is or where to start on figuring that out, you're welcome to either or both of mine. If saving the lives of our elders and the most vulnerable and helping our brothers and sisters who will get financially hit hardest sounds like two good starting points for you, then those whys are yours now too. A clear why is like love. It becomes more powerful the more you share it with others. Yes, this will be work, not panicked work, not the work any of us wanted, but good work for us to do. Good work that will immediately and obviously save lives and will help our brothers and sisters who don't have the margin for this rebound faster when the immediate crisis has passed. It may be some of the most important work we ever get the privilege to do. And you don't have to wait 5 years for the next promotion. It's here now, today. So let's get started. In the coming days and weeks, you're going to hear two things from me, and maybe a bit from Bonnie too, and perhaps from a few other folks in our global community who have the margin to help. On one hand, you're going to hear exactly what you've been hearing from me for 9 years. The regular Monday episodes will keep airing just as they already do, and we'll stay focused on the big picture stuff. You're probably not going to hear much on those regular episodes, at least not right away, about the virus. Part of that is the reality that we've already recorded some interviews before all this happened. But perhaps more important is keeping all of us focused also on the big picture and the long game, as we always have been. That's why you normally don't hear about the news of the day on this show, because I'm focused on the big picture stuff. And the big picture stuff will keep going. And the news of the day is now relevant to how every leader shows up in the coming weeks, and how effective we are with why we're doing this. So for a little while, you're going to hear more than just what you're used to. You'll be hearing in the coming days and weeks about the tactical stuff in response to this. Now that you know my why, I'll do as much as I can on how to keep a good mindset during all this. How to run virtual meetings if you've not done much of that before. And even how to do work in the midst of kids learning at home, while being mindful of why we're doing that. And yes, also on how do you make a difference and influence great behavior in a virtual environment to help things move forward. For the last 5 years, I've had the privilege to serve leaders all over the world in our academy to do exactly that. And I'll still be hard at work in the coming weeks and months to serve them as they navigate lots of change. Most of them I've never met in person, but we've done extraordinary work together to create movement. And both Bonnie and I have established decent systems to work from home virtually for ourselves and for others in the recent years. We'll share those too. And we'll start sharing the wisdom from the 500 responses that already came in from the survey I sent out to our community on Friday, asking what's worked for you in working virtually and where do you need help from us. We're already working on analyzing all of that data. So I'll be showing up more than I normally do to do whatever I can in the context of what I always do, helping us all lead better through good conversations. I don't know yet what the exact timeline and format's going to look like for all of that. Like you, responding to a global pandemic was not on my quarterly plan, and Bonnie and I are navigating all the realities of kids at home learning and living as we work, just like many of you are. I do know this. What we create will all be free here on the podcast feed. We'll get it inside the member portal on the website too, since that'll be easy for many of our regular listeners to reference, but we'll also have everything here publicly on the feed, so you can easily share it with others if you find it useful. We didn't sign up for this. It's not the work any of us wanted, but here it is. Some parts will be messy, we're going to make mistakes, we'll stumble our way through this, but we'll do it together. But if we keep these whys front and center, it will illuminate the path ahead. It will, as my friend Kwame Christian says, bring light into a dark room so that we can see it just a bit more clearly. More will come in the days and weeks ahead. Before it does, if more on your why will help now, episode 223 with Simon Sinek is one to pull up. Start there. I leave you with the words of the late Fred Rogers, the American who hosted a public television show when I was a child, teaching us about our emotions. "Look for the helpers," was the advice he said he got from his mom when scary things happened in the world. That's great advice for kids, but it's a little different perspective for us. My friends, we are now the helpers. So let's get to work.